Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were guys, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out.
Welcome to the show, and I realized something. I like a bully from my sports teams. I like a bully from my sports teams. And the Astros have been bullies the last maybe 4 or 5 days. Hasn't been that long, but they've been bullies. They've been jumping out, whether it be the Red Sox or the Rays, and saying, we're going to win this one. Don't worry about it. Let's have a relaxing evening. That's not what they're saying to me, but that's the message. You jump out early, which has been a stark contrast from their rough start, which now seems very long ago, when they were down early and couldn't find a way back. I talked about it on a show maybe a month or so ago now, that it didn't feel like this team, when they got down, was going to show the fight that we've seen from them over the last decade or so, as far as punching back and maybe winning a game late 7-6. If the game got away from them or felt like it got away from them early, there was no coming back. Now they're doing that to other teams where it's either an early crooked number or maybe just a solo home run like it was from Bregman last night, and there's no coming back from the Rays, and that's in part due to the offense continuing to pile on runs and also because of the pitching staff. Fromber was good. He didn't go long in the game, but he was fine. Good enough, and of course everyone picked them up. So another win for the Astros. They take a half game lead over the Mariners because the Mariners did not play. But we'll continue to talk about the game. We have two guys winning AL Player of the Week in Bregman and Yordan. They shared that award. They had great weeks. Get into some of the numbers there. But I do want to start off the show by giving credit to Sean Mapes. Sean Mapes pointed out that the Astros, or the news of Kyle Tucker joining the team, sounded like a misdirection, because Joe Espada discussed Kyle Tucker's path back to playing, and it didn't make it sound like it was anywhere close. And then we got the video from Brian McTaggart. That video made it clear that Kyle Tucker ain't nowhere close to being major league ready. Forget that. Let's say Space Cowboy ready. He's in Tampa fielding in the outfield with his teammates, and everything's in slow motion. It feels like he's got 40 more years on him than he actually does. He's out there in the outfield looking like a 60-year-old man, almost 70, trying to get some calisthenics in. That's what it looked like. We talk about football when they go through walkthroughs and they do it at half speed. I might give Kyle Tucker, like when you put on a YouTube video and maybe a trailer, and you want to do the whole Zapruder film, and you slow it down to about 0.25. That's how Kyle Tucker was going out there as opposed to major league speed. He's a bit away. He's out there. He's in Astros-issued gear. But that particular video from Brian McTaggart, and it's funny how he captures it. He goes, this bad video of Kyle Tucker. And we know McTaggart is saying, because he's far away and it's grainy, but it could have just meant Kyle Tucker looks bad.
Yeah.
It could have meant that.
He meant the quality of the video.
Yes.
We meant the quality of, but we took it as the quality of the person.
But after watching Kyle Tucker, Brian McTaggart, you could have just said, Kyle Tucker looks bad out there. It's a bad video. And we would have been, oh, yeah, you're right. I don't know what it means. Maybe he was going on half speed on purpose. Maybe it wasn't because, or quarter speed. Maybe it wasn't because he was forced to do that, but it looked like a guy was stiff, who had no explosion, and is trying to really work himself back. And I saw a lot of commentary about, oh, well, we're talking, that's September. He's back in September. If that, it wasn't encouraging. The game itself, the way they're playing, the way the bats have picked up, the way Fromber pitched yesterday, very encouraging. But if we were counting on the return of Kyle Tucker soon, at least the video suggests we're a bit away. And you know what? The offense has been fine, more than fine. So we can relax a little bit.
Yeah. At least he got to hang out with his Tampa peeps.
Yeah. And a couple more days, right? He can hang out with his boys in Tampa. Show up to the ballpark and take a game in as a spectator, then head on out. Get a shower and then head on out with his boys.
Yeah. Baseball. The town.
Yeah. Baseball guys. When do you have to be at the ballpark? Noon for Kyle Tucker? When does he have to be at the ballpark the next day?
I was going to say, Kyle Tucker really doesn't have to stroll in until, what, 5:30 for a 6 o'clock start? He's not playing.
Maybe, I know, but maybe he wants to, you know, go through the routine as he tries to work himself back. So maybe he gets there earlier than 10 minutes before first pitch. But I know how we would do it. But as far as how Kyle Tucker would handle it, he may get there about noon, get a workout in, lift some weights, whatever. But this is a paid-for trip by the Astros. All expenses paid by the Astros to hang out at home.
Go back to his old high school.
Maybe make an appearance, do some charity work. I don't know.
I mean, they're probably starting school if they're anything like us.
Yeah, last week, August 8th, we heard some kids are getting started. Not me. Couldn't be me. California kid after Labor Day. I don't know what it is now, but that's what it was when I was a kid. August. Early August, I still had a month to go hanging out with my cousins in Florida. Not in Tampa like Kyle Tucker's hanging out with his cousins, but in Daytona Beach, that area of Florida.
Yeah, I was like mid-August.
States are different. And we went until June.
Oh, okay.
June.
We're out by Memorial
Day. Yeah, see, you get it. You get the number of days than you need, but you start later or earlier depending on what state you're in. But August 8th, that's rough for the kids. But and really, I complain. I shouldn't. If you're affecting my drive-in, that's really what would bother me. But I'm up early enough that it doesn't matter too much.
And for me, it affects my drive back.
Yeah.
Passing the school. There's a school around here that I have to pass by the pickup line. And every once in a while, it's like, oh, my God.
Oh, education.
It's bleeding into the real workers here, like me.
Yeah, not those people picking up their beloved children.
Brats. Yeah.
They probably are brats, at least half of them. But I don't know them. I'm not your kids, whoever's listening.
Statistically, there's a couple brats in that.
The other kids are brats, not your kids, though. That they would never be that way. All your kids are angels. So, the Astros, another win. Is that now 7 in a row for them? 6 in a row. I think that's 6 in a row for them. As they are one of the hotter teams in baseball right now. The unfortunate part for them is the Mariners had matched them up until last night because the Mariners didn't play. So we'll see if the Astros can continue to edge away from the Mariners. And because of the way both teams have played now, the wild card race is up for grabs. It's in the ballpark for both of them, too. It's not just division or nothing, which is what we kind of felt like throughout as those two teams were scuffling along, trying to gain any traction. Now it's probably going to be a race where one of them has a shot to make the final wild card spot. So it's not all or nothing, but of course the division, winning that one certainly makes your path a little bit easier for the playoffs. And, you know, they're probably going to be the third seed. That's kind of how it's going to work out, but you'd rather do that. And of course the matchup would kind of dictate something. So you never know, but you would want to start that series at home, and that's what you get for winning the division. So still plenty of time. And Kikuchi's on the mound tonight. And because of what Will Wagner did for the Blue Jays, this is, I guess, is going to be an ongoing thing for the rest of the year. I don't think Kikuchi's going to be back. So this will go beyond this last part of the year. But the comparison and which guy's doing well for the Blue Jays and how Kikuchi is pitching will be a narrative. Now, Lil Profito's doing what he always does, not getting on base and striking out. Bloss is in the minors, but Will Wagner got called up. What you would have considered the throw-in in the Kikuchi trade, and his debut was nice for 3 hits. It's against the Angels, so it doesn't really count.
Well,
they're barely a major league team. He did get credit to Will Wagner. The 3 hits are amazing for a guy making his debut, but it's the Angels. Whatever.
It comes with an asterisk.
Yes. Okay. You got that against the Angels. if you're 15 games below 500, does your great debut really count if it's done against one of those teams? Yes, it does. And I'm not going to kill Dana Brown unless Kikuchi arm blows up or something. He stops pitching well because so far, so good. The combination of Miller and Murphy with Kikuchi, with Fromber now throwing the curveball, we'll hear from the curveball's been a game changer for him, we'll hear from him, Espada on that curveball and really how the entire staff did yesterday. Those pitching coaches have done a great job solidifying what felt like a shaky unit, and maybe we're one rehab start away from getting it even stronger with Justin Verlander. So we will see about that. Hopefully his rehab start is a good one and he responds well to that, which is always a concern. We'll get into some of the Texan stuff as well that happened yesterday as national media continues to descend onto Houston. This time, DeMeco Ryan sat down. We'll hear from him and what he thinks about Stephon Diggs as a leader. And also, Tank talks about his connection with CJ. We know CJ had words about Tank and what he means to him and what they mean to each other. Tank responded to that, so we'll get to that as well. We're just getting started on the show. We will also talk about what is going on around college football because there's a couple things I want to get to. And also in the NFL, Matt LaFleur responded to the number one wide receiver question quite differently than how DeMeco did. Because remember, we're always having these discussions about who's the number one wide receiver for the Texans. Well, Matt LaFleur was less patient with the question. And we'll get to that as well. We're just getting started. If you want to get in, 713-780-3776. We will be back.
ESPN 97.5.
This is the story of the one. As a facility technician installing a new welding station, he knows getting the ventilation right is critical for safety. That's why when questions arise, there's Grainger. Grainger offers detailed technical product information online at his fingertips, so it's easy to find what he needs. Because when it comes to safety, having answers means he and his people can breathe a little easier. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Life insurance. Why are you putting it off? Can't afford it? Too much hassle? Think you don't need it? There's lots of excuses for putting off life insurance. But if you weren't there, who would pay the mortgage and other bills? With Ethos, you could be covered in 10 minutes and boom, family protected. Ethos, fast and easy online term life insurance. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam. Some policies as low as a dollar a day. Answer a few health questions and get your free quote at getethos.com. That's getethos.com.
You have a toilet? Do you have a sink? Do you have pipes in your house? Of course you do. Then put this number in your phone, 281-488-6238. That's Aqueduct Plumbing. John Granato here. At some point, you're going to need Aqueduct Plumbing. They're professional, affordable, and offer free estimates. I can't tell you how many times my buddies have asked me for that number. Don't be that guy. Be proactive. Be responsible. Be a hero to your family. Put Aqueduct Plumbing's number in your phone now, 281-488-6238. That's 281-488-6238.
Maestro Dobel. If you enjoy tequila, this is the name to know. I'm drinking the Añejo right now, and this is what I love about Maestro Dobel. It's the variety of excellent tequilas they've created, all with different flavor profiles. The Silver, Reposado, the Añejo, Diamante, and Humido all show off Maestro Dobel's mastery of the art of tequila making, so you get a variety of complex aromas, flavors, and finishes. You're going to truly love making your cocktails with Maestro Dobel. Find Maestro Dobel anywhere liquor is sold. Maestro Dobel.
Texting enrolls you in a recurring automated marketing text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
Ugh, leaving for the gym so early?
I'm ready to go.
Since you started taking Nugenix Total T, you've been acting like when we met in our 20s.
I feel like myself again. Lower testosterone after turning 40 slowed me down. Nugenix Total T has been a game changer for me.
What is it about Nugenix Total T that's different?
It's a key ingredient called Tesnor. It boosts free and total testosterone to help you get back the drive and energy from your youth. Total T is backed by 5 clinical studies.
I've seen the huge difference it's made for you in the gym, at work, and in the bedroom.
I'm so glad I sent them a text for my complimentary bottle. Text PREP to 321-321 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T. Nugenix is the number one selling testosterone boosting brand at GNC and Walmart. Do it now, and we'll also send you a bottle of Nugenix Thermo X, our newest, most powerful fat burner ever. Absolutely free. Text PREP to 321-321. That's PREP to 321-321.
Visit Le Berge Casino Resort Lake Charles this summer for exciting live sports action. Le Berge has the biggest screens around, and ESPN Bet is live in Louisiana. Plus, Penn Play Rewards members can win up to $500 Penn Cash every week. Visit PennPlaySports.com/cover5 today and register for your chance to play and win. Not a member? Get the Penn Play app today. Le Berge Casino Resort Lake Charles, your live sports headquarters. Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
Gone! Your home for the Sugarland Space Cowboys is ESPN 92.5. Listen to every hit, pitch, and big play of the 2024 season right here on ESPN 92.5.
Tune in Sunday nights from 7 to 9 for the Mean Gene Show. Mean Gene is hosting Sunday's best NFL postgame radio show right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Listen for interviews, game analysis, and of course, excuses from every loser this NFL season.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Welcome back to the show. Astros win. Fromber wins again. The Astros have won his last nine starts. And the start before, he went six, only gave up two runs now. In the middle of that nine-game winning streak in the starts, he hasn't been great throughout. There was a couple of iffy outings, but he has gotten really good run support. He is maybe the opposite of what Spencer Arrighetti is dealing with as far as the Astros supporting him. But nine in a row with him on the mound. And Joe Espada talked about what his, at this point, number one starter has done and how he's gotten to this point.
Our pitching just incredible job. Starting pitching all the way through the bullpen today, you know, Scott and you know, Ort, phenomenal. Framber's curveball has been a game-changing for him the last couple outings. We know once he needs a ground ball, he's got that sinker. He was efficient. He threw the ball really well.
Something changed with the curve, or he used it more efficiently, or it just gets sharper?
Yeah, just gotten better with time. You know, we asking him to use it more, and he's been working hard trying to get it, trying to get the location of it, land it whenever he wants to, behind the count, ahead of the count. It's been a game-changing for him.
Is there a chance that Joe Espada doesn't know Caleb Ort's first name? He was like, Ort, that sounded like a man who wasn't sure what his first name was.
He's new.
Blaming him. I'm just saying I've heard that tone because that's how we talk to the intern sometimes. Hey, man. I said that because there's an intern in there right now. But he sounded – that's the cadence of a man who wasn't quite sure if it was Caleb or something else. But Caleb Ort is the Ort he was referencing.
Do you think he was like Caleb – no, it's Caleb Ferguson.
He's got two Calebs on the team. Two relatively new Calebs on the team. Ort. I can't forget Ort. I'm going to go with Ort.
It's on the back of his jersey.
Yeah. I look at it all the time.
Boom. 1, 2, 3 letters.
There it is. So Caleb Ort – and Caleb Ort's been good since he's been – pitching for the Astros, ERA under 1, and 6 games, 14 strikeouts, and 6 appearances so in 10 innings. So he has been good for the Astros. Just another, I don't know if I want to call him a reclamation project, but he did not pitch to this level at any point in any of his other stops. And now with the Astros, he has found his way. It's just what they do now. Whether they be an old pitcher or a young pitcher, they find ways to convert guys who may have been, let's just say, just dudes on other teams and into more when they become Astros. So that's kind of been a trademark for this team throughout the run. Yes, the big-name guys, acquiring Verlander, acquiring Gerrit Cole, and we know about when he was healthy, Lance McCullers, and even before, Dallas Keuchel. But the Frombers, the Christian Javiers, the Urquidys, they just turn guys with not a lot of acclaim into, in some cases, frontline starters and all-stars and things like that. So hopefully that continues. They seem to have the formula, and their latest project, Kikuchi, on the mound tonight, trying to continue his strong start, the Astros. Let's move to the Texans. I mentioned getting to them as we wrapped up segment one. So a lot of talk about Stephon Diggs, no matter who is in town. It's just the way it is. He is, despite C.J. Stroud being the face and the acquisitions of Danielle Hunter and others on defense, Stephon Diggs is, I would say, the biggest name on the roster. Just a long, long history of success and maybe some volatile moments, but we haven't seen those in Houston. I talked about it yesterday. Houston fans coming to his defense because his interaction with C.J. in the game on Friday was taken out of context by anyone who decided they needed some aggregation and wanted to inflame the talk about Stephon Diggs being a problem. That has not been the case while he's been here. And D'Amico Ryans is one of several Texans who have talked very fondly about Stephon Diggs. Here's D'Amico in a sit-down interview discussing what he loves about Stephon Diggs.
I love Diggs. I talked about CJ being competitive, but Diggs is like, he cares so much about, like, winning. He cares so much about being good, like, and he cares so much about his teammates and making sure everybody is playing their best. Like, the energy that, you talk about me with energy, the energy that he brings to practice every day.
Because he's vocal. He's chirping out there. He's coaching the guys up on the sideline. I'm watching him.
He's doing it all, and I love that. And it's all positive. It's all upbeat. It's all encouraging. It's like, man, who wouldn't want this guy on our team? Like, I'm so thankful and blessed that we were able to acquire him. Yeah. He was able to come to our team because I think his leadership level is just off the charts. He's off the charts as a leader, off the charts as a player and a person. Like, he's a fun guy to be around. He loves football.
He told me the goal is to be captain. Yeah. He said that his goal is to be the captain of this team. He's like, if they decide it, so I can't.
He's
on his way. And I think when you guys traded for him.
That was Diana Rossini of The Athletic. That was from D'Amico's time with her. I believe that was in Ohio as the Texans spent the week there getting ready for the Pittsburgh Steelers. A lot of media descended upon the Texans in Ohio. I don't know if that's going to continue as they practice in their normal spots in Houston, but I'm sure as the preseason continues, definitely when the season comes around, we're going to see a lot of faces that you see, whether it be on Twitter or TV, coming down here to talk to these teams. They're kind of the team of the moment, at least one of them. As far as teams who haven't won at the highest level, you probably would rank them number one as far as interest when it comes to people wanting to come down here and see what it's about. Their story, and a relatively surprising one considering where everyone thought they were going to be to start 2023. People want to hear from them. D'Amico's liked. High Q rating all around. And then you interject the one guy everyone thinks is going to be a problem, and everyone gets is, we love Stephon Diggs. We love him. He's the greatest. He could be captain. Just wait till week 8.
Hey,
that's my cynicism.
Hey.
I'm just throwing it out there because
it normally takes longer. It normally takes like a year and a half.
That's true. He probably won't be here long enough for the what people would consider the inevitable blow up to happen.
Yeah.
You know, or maybe he loves it here, and then he gets two more years, and then we wait till week 9 of next season of 2025. Stephon Diggs will be fine, right? What are we worried about?
Nothing. Good vibes. August.
It's good vibes
it's
only.
It's the NFL in August. Good vibes.
Only people having bad vibes are the Jets and Hassan Reddick. Really, you're right. It's August. Everyone, delusional or not, is feeling pretty good for the most part. I mean, sure, there are some contract issues in San Francisco that had to work out. Cincinnati, those with their wide receivers, but for the most part, everyone feels good. There's not a lot of tension. And if you're not injured and you're practicing, everything's okay. The pressure of the season is getting closer and closer. But at this point, relax, everyone. Stop asking about Stephon Diggs. Everyone loves him here. Don't worry. It'll be fine. Fine, fine, fine.
Fine, fine.
Fine,
fine.
Fine.
Yeah, Joe Mixon.
Good.
Still fine.
Yeah, he's back on the practice field.
That's all I got on Joe Mixon.
Yeah, I don't know if we'll even see him in the preseason.
I think now for the rest, at least the rest of the year, I'm just going to associate with Joe Mixon. Yeah, he's fine.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what he is as a player now.
Yeah,
he's fine. I mean, he's a replacement level running back, which it's kind of, he's neutral. He'll be okay.
It's like an average starting running back.
Yeah.
You feel good, but not like, oh my God, we have Adrian Peterson.
Or McCaffrey or Barkley, yeah. Whoever you want to use. He won't be the biggest factor on the team. He'll be a nice compliment, but that's about it.
Yeah. It's something where if he doesn't perform, you go, well, the offensive line didn't do a good job. He's doing a good job blocking it up for him. Because he's not the guy who's going to make the plays out of nothing, make defenders miss, break tackles. At this point, his career is just, yeah, he'll get the yards that are blocked for him. Maybe a little bit more, but that's about it.
And he'll do the cool first down celebration where he stretches the ball out and drops it. Oh,
got to.
He'll do that. He'll be that guy. And we'll keep it moving as there are bigger weapons on this team. One of those is Tank Dell. We'll hear from him when we come back. They talked about it. CJ talked about his connection with his brother in Christ. Those are his words. I'm not joking about it. That's what he said. And Tank talks about his connection with CJ. We'll hear from him. We'll also talk about, and Sean, get in on this, the 14 teams who made the playoffs last year. There's a ranking from most likely to least likely to make the playoffs this year. We'll see where the Texans fall, who's first, who's last. I'm sure you can guess who's first, but maybe last place you might be able to guess as well. We'll get into that going forward, and we'll hear from Tank Dell on the other side. If you want to get in and talk about anything, you know the show. You can talk about pretty much anything. 713-780-3776. We will be back.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So, Texans have multiple wide receivers to depend on, but it feels like if we're talking about connections, the two guys who may be the most connected on the field and maybe off is CJ and Tank. They talk about each other like they're brothers, and I think if you ask them, they would say, that's my brother. So we heard from CJ yesterday discussing what it meant to see Tank back on the field and what they're building on and off the field. Here's Tank talking about CJ and the rest of the wide receiver core.
I just feel like, you know, just our connection off the field, it just leads onto what we do on the field. And he's a playmaker, I'm a playmaker. So when we out there, we're going to figure it out and get it done. And like y'all see, like, he built connections with not only me, but like all the receivers. Like him and Steph got a good connection. Nico, of course, got a good connection. So we coming along. All us, I feel like when all of us get going, it's going to be great. So,
Sean, do you ever watch reality dating shows?
No, not really.
I only bring it up because the word connection gets used on those shows all the time. It's like every time one, whether it be woman or man, they're like, I'm just trying to build a connection. I'm just trying to build a connection.
I don't really feel that connection.
Yeah, I don't really feel it. Yeah. Well, as you can tell, because I was making out this other person in the clip that preceded my sit down here. Yeah, so it's the word that gets used a lot. Maybe it's a young person word. Ask our intern in there. Does he use the word connection a lot?
No.
He doesn't. So maybe it's not exclusive. Maybe he doesn't build relationships. Because apparently Tank and CJ and the rest of those guys build relationships, and they're building their connection.
I feel like it's also what also helps is the fact he's, to my knowledge, not on any reality TV shows.
Or playing wide receiver for the Texans.
Okay. Or playing wide receiver for the Texans. Yes. I don't have to look back. I already know. He's not Ben Skoranek. I already know.
Yes. That's true. He has not been Skoranek. People love Ben Skoranek. I don't know how many snaps he's going to get this season, but when the Texans made that acquisition, people were going nuts to a level. Yeah. Like, I know he played for the Rams, and he got a couple snaps, but
I don't know. After the Pittsburgh game, I'm kind of in.
I feel like with the depth chart the way it is, and then you throw in Joe Mixon and Dalton Schultz, and I don't know how many snaps Ben Skoranek's going to get. Maybe on goal line, they sneak him out of the backfield or something, fool the defense.
Special teams. It's one-third of the game, though.
I've heard. But I don't think that's what they're excited about, his ability to go tackle somebody on special teams.
They don't know ball?
I'm not going to fight that. the overwhelming joy. Oh, we acquired Ben Skoranek. All right, relax. Relax, okay. This team won't go anywhere if Ben Skoranek is a main part of the team. If you are counting on Ben Skoranek at any point, the season has gone poorly for the Texans.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
I would agree with that, other than on special teams.
Yes, if he can be a special teams demon, that'd be great. I don't know if that's going to be the case, but yes. Find a way to impact the team, Ben Skoranek. Just don't do it on offense, because that means we're in big, big trouble. So, you heard about Tank's and his connection with CJ. CJ talked about it with Tank. Tank wasn't around last year for the playoffs. We know. He got caught up playing the seventh offensive tackle, or I mean the seventh offensive lineman, wound up in a scrum where he shouldn't have been, and got rolled up on and broke his leg. So, I bring that up because, as I mentioned, ESPN has an article referencing or talking about the 14 playoff teams from last year, and they are ranked from most likely to least likely to make the playoffs again. Take a guess, Sean Mapes. The team least likely to make the playoffs who made it last year, who would it be?
I just need to look at who the teams that made the playoffs are. Give me the Steelers.
You would be correct.
There we go.
And mostly this is all about Mike Tomlin being Mike Tomlin. Like, never count out Mike Tomlin. They're always going to be above 500. And if they're above 500, they've got a shot to make the playoffs. So that's pretty much what most of this is. And I would say, you know what? You're right. Until the guy proves otherwise, don't ever remove Mike Tomlin from a potential playoff seed, whether it be the seventh seed. So be it. It is what the Steelers are. Justin Fields probably raises their ceiling, but probably lowers their floor. And if Russell Wilson's there, Russell Wilson's probably an improvement on Kenny Pickett.
Yeah, he's an improvement.
He's an improvement.
Kenny Pickett threw like 12 touchdown passes last year.
True, and Russell Wilson did take care of the football last year.
Yeah.
He is an improvement. I'll take back my less than thinly veiled insult of Russell Wilson. He is a better option than Kenny Pickett. That is clear. Is it enough to make the playoffs? That certainly depends on what the Jags will do, what the Colts will do. Some of those teams right in that area who didn't make it, and what the Jets might do. But the Steelers come in at number 14. Can you guess where the Texans are? Considering all the hype, considering all the positivity, where do you think the Texans rank from most to least to make the playoffs?
Out of 14?
Yes.
I'm going to have them as like seventh, like right in the middle, like seventh.
You're correct.
Oh.
They're seventh.
Okay. Wow. That was definitely not a wishy-washy, like, half.
Which is kind of what the Texans have been there for the most part outside of that dark period of the 3 years previous to 2023. They've always kind of been a middling team ranked in the middle, or even just individual stats. Hey, they're the 16th best defense in football. They're always kind of in that mid-range. And now ranking them seventh in the playoff picture is a little different because it means certainly they are one of the better teams of football. But I'm surprised that they are ranked that low. If I look at the rest of the AFC, you've got 1, 2, 3. Well, so three teams ahead of them. So they're according to this particular article written by Bill Barnwell, they're the fourth team. And this doesn't even include maybe he thinks a new playoff team. But as far as the teams who made it last year, he has them fourth. So, behind the Ravens, the Chiefs, and the Bills. Okay. I would rank them ahead of the Bills.
I think so, mostly because of the division.
Yeah.
You also have the Dolphins.
Yeah, who are on the list. I believe he has them at 10th. He references their struggles late in the season. 2022, because of Tua's injury. 2023, just because the team just fell apart. There are injuries across the board there. So, understandably why they're there. I would put them ahead of the Bills. I put the Texans ahead of the Bills as far as most likely. The division is easier. Now, the schedule is tougher. The Bills play a first-place schedule, too, so they will play the Texans. But I think people believe because of the quarterbacks they have to play and the schedule overall, the Texans have a tougher one than the Bills. But I think the Texans, top to bottom, have a better roster. I think we talked about this yesterday. The one thing that differentiates the Texans from the Bills right now, you've got a superhuman at quarterback that people believe in with the Buffalo Bills, and then you have certainly a young quarterback that people like a lot with a better roster. But I think in some cases, they will overplay how good the quarterback is and go, well, they have Josh Allen. That's enough. Yeah, we've never seen Josh Allen without a number one wide receiver either. So as much as the talk has been about how Stephon Diggs will do in Houston, will he be a problem? You know what opened up the Josh Allen career path to go from inaccurate giraffe running around out there to legitimate MVP candidate when he got a number one wide receiver? He doesn't have one right now. I don't expect him to regress to the inaccurate guy who was throwing laterals in a playoff game with the Bills when they were here. If we go back to that point when Deshaun was still a Texans quarterback, but
throwing a vertical route to a guy wearing like 42.
Yeah.
You don't think he'll go back to
that? No, I don't think he'll do that. The Bills have built their infrastructure and Allen has developed to a point where he's not that guy anymore. But it is interesting to see. You're going to, depending on guys like Shakir and Keon Coleman, a rookie, and hoping your two tight end sets come through. We'll see. Stephon Diggs, his impact was his lesson throughout the year last year, but he was still on the field. You still have to pay attention to him, so the Bills will have to compensate for that. Wood, I see you. You want to talk Texans? Anyone else want to get in? You certainly can. We'll get to Wood when we come back. But first, I want to talk about, as I remember what Sean wrote, my bookie. Actually, he wrote no Aqueduct Plumbing. He wrote my bookie. Aqueduct Plumbing is owned by Billy Brown, but we'll talk about Billy Brown at a later date. What I want to talk about is MyBookie. Maybe you think the Texans are a clear favorite to make the playoffs and maybe win a Super Bowl. You can go to MyBookie and put something down on a futures bet. Certainly can do that. Certainly winning division, you can do that as well. MyBookie is the place you go to really bet on anything. Now that the Olympics are over, you can start to focus on other things. Like the Premier League is coming back. You can bet on that. You've got Major League Baseball tonight, maybe like Kikuchi in a third start for the Astros. There are plenty of places to put your money. That's why they say bet on anything, anywhere, anytime. And, of course, you're listening to us, so take advantage of the sign-up bonus with the promo code BET975. You use that, it makes your money go further. And also, if you're an existing customer, you can use the promo code as well. MyBookie wants to help you out. I know it's a bookie site, but, hey, they want you to have fun. Go out there and win. And if you're into the live casino, MyBookie provides that for you, too. So you've got the sports betting. You got the lot, and with that comes live betting, in-game betting. You got the live casino, maybe like card games, whether it be blackjack, baccarat, or poker. You see the live dealer on the screen for you as well, dealing you your cards. Just go to mybookie.ag to take it all in, check it all out. And remember, you can bet on anything, anywhere, anytime with MyBookie.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
We're back, and let's get to Wood. Wood wants to talk a little bit about the Texans. What's up?
Hey, man, I love listening to what Tank talking about with the connection with the quarterback, with all the different receivers. But one thing that drove me crazy on Friday night was when I was seeing Tank there returning punts. What the world is he doing back there returning punts? Have they lost their mind? Did they not learn last year when he went out and caught a ball, he hit his head on the ground, had a concussion, gone for one or two games? Did they not learn when he was down there trying to block with the big boys, he got his leg broke? I don't need to see him out there returning punts with them gunners coming down shooting at him. I want to see him in that offense where he can keep that offense open up. He can make plays. He can make everybody be accountable on that offense to the point where, man, we're going to have too many weapons for teams to recognize what we're going to do to them. Because I predict we're going 13-4. 13-4. The four little games we're going to lose, we're going 6 straight right off the bat. We'll be 6-0. Before you know it, then we're going to Green Bay. That'd be our first loss. Possibility we'll lose to the Jets. I see us losing to Baltimore and Kansas City. We will get our revenge back on Kansas City in the playoffs and be in New Orleans at the Super Bowl. But we cannot do it if Tank Dell is out there running punt returns. And before you know it, he gets nicked up a little bit and he can't be a part of the offense where we can use him as a weapon is what we want him for.
Let me ask you something, Wood. While I would agree on I don't need to see Tank returning punts in the preseason, I don't really understand that. Think back to young Tyreek Hill when he was establishing himself with the Chiefs. Now, beyond the fact that he would be a returner consistently, then as he progressed, they would throw him out there judiciously when they needed a play. Would you be in favor of, okay, the other team is backed up inside their 15, let's throw Tank out there for maybe we can score a touchdown in the regular season?
Okay, let's say you got a situation where you need a game to win to put you in a position to be the number one seed in the AFC. So now you have a possibility where you can win the game, not just come out and just put him out there for the heck of it, but you need him to make a play. That's different. You need him in the playoffs to make a play. But just to put him out there on a regular basis where you increase his chances of getting banged up and hurt, that's nonsense. We need him on a regular basis on that offensive field because he's going to get hit a lot. It's 17 long games, and it's a long season. It's a physical game out there. And the receiver out there, they're going to get nicked up. I would rather see him get nicked up catching the ball, supposed to try to return the ball, when we got plenty of people we can sacrifice out there to return the ball. You got King. You got Sim. Let them be the sacrifice of them out there to get hurt.
I appreciate it, Wood. It kind of surprised me they had him out there in the preseason. And didn't Steven Sims return a touchdown in the against Baltimore? Punt return?
Yeah, Sims did.
So they do have a guy who has shown the capability of doing that. I would not be surprised if Tank is out there quite a bit. I'm not as strong as Wood is, where he's like, no, unless it's like to win a game. But there are moments you can throw Tank out there, and as I put it out there, when they have a team backed up inside the 20-yard line, let Tank try to take one to the house in that situation, or just get them good field position. There are moments I think you can deploy Tank Dell. I wouldn't be in favor of doing it over and over again, but you know what they'll tell you. He's a football player. It's football. He's a playmaker. We want our playmakers out there. That's generally what a coach will say in defense of anybody questioning that particular decision. The preseason, I didn't really need to see it. It's fine, but I didn't really need to see him out there. I get what Tank Dell can provide. As Wood said, let's sacrifice Sims. Let's sacrifice him to the special teams gods and see what happens. You heard what he said, sacrifice.
That's what he said. I didn't expect you to say
that. I'm not suggesting sacrifice, but if we're using the terms of our caller,
yes.
Throw Ben Skoranek out there. I don't care.
Ben Skoranek too important to sacrifice?
No, not at all. Not at all.
I agree. I agree with you on all this. We don't need to see him in the preseason. It was, I guess, to see him once in the preseason, just be like, oh, it was interesting as like this is something they're thinking about, sure. Obviously. So it was good to see him that way, but I don't really need to see him ever again in the preseason returning punts. And like you, it's more of a baseball term where we talk about high leverage relievers, where it's, hey, this is a tough spot in relief late in a game. So maybe even though it's not the seventh or eighth inning, you're going to go to Brian Abreu or Ryan Pressly in that kind of situation. I think that's how Tank Dell should be deployed as a punt returner too, where either in a spot where you need a big return in the fourth quarter of a close game, or if it's something like you brought up where the other team is backed up and you think you can really flip the field or maybe even score with a good return, then you throw Tank out there. But, you know, first drive of the game against week one against the Colts, probably don't need to see Tank Dell out there in the first quarter.
Whoever's going to eventually fair catch that football, let them do it. And then Tank can come out and run out with the first team offense.
Sacrifice them.
I mean,
to the punt gods.
I feel like sacrifice is a strong term. Wood used it, so I'm just going to use it for the segment.
Yeah.
I don't generally say sacrifice that player for the sake of another. It's generally not what I would say, but hey, let that man cook. He was cooking. 13 wins he had him at.
Yeah, that's Steven Sims crossed a bear, you know.
Well, he's going to be dying for our sins.
Oh, that's another sacrifice.
Since we're using that term.
Yeah, since we're using the sacrifice.
He'll
be back in three days.
I was going to get there, but you got there first. Yeah, when they play on a Wednesday.
Yeah, exactly. When they do Saturday to Wednesday.
Yeah, when they do that later in the year. Part of that tough stretch that Wood referenced. He has them losing to the Ravens and the Chiefs. And then what do you have? The Jets possibly and the
Packers.
And the Packers. So
go to Lambeau.
13-4. First loss of the year in Green Bay. They're 6-0. Great.
I'll take it.
Sure.
I'll take it right now.
Oh.
Can we lock that in?
Oh, look at you going out on a limb. You know what I'll take? 6-0 to start the year. You're taking a real gamble there with that one.
Some people would say no. I say yes.
It would be a nice start to the year. You at least have beaten the Colts and then the Bears. And I haven't really gotten past weeks 1 and 2 as far as what the Texans schedule is. My bandwidth is like, I know who they play weeks 1 and 2. That's about it.
I just know that their schedule isn't like perfectly split up like this, but pretty well split up in the young quarterbacks for the first 5-6 weeks. And then you get into the kind of grind of the season where you're playing Jordan Love, Aaron Rodgers, Tua, and eventually Lamar and Mahomes. Like, you get the tougher part. Josh Allen's in there somewhere. So I know at first it's a lot of Minnesota, Washington. I think they play all the like top picks at quarterback from this year. Obviously, they play Caleb week 2. So, yeah, I do think that this is a team that not only should, but actually kind of needs to get out to a hot start of the season, because all their hard games are in October, November, December.
I'm looking at it right now. Outside of playing the Titans, no matter what you think of the quarterbacks throughout the rest of the schedule, whether they're young or established, a lot of big names on the schedule. You mentioned Caleb. Anthony Richardson, young, but a lot of people think quite highly of his ceiling. It's like only the Titans are the team where like, Will Levis, whatever.
They play the Vikings, right?
But even still, that's could be a young quarterback. I know, but
JJ McCarthy or Sam Darnold.
No, understood.
It
but
might be Darnold.
But even if it's JJ McCarthy, it's still a rookie quarterback who just won a national title. It's still a big. It's not going to be a rating straw, but at least this guy played for the national champions. He was the quarterback of the national champions.
He's going to be handing off to Donovan Edwards and Blake Corum.
No, it'll just be handing off to Aaron Jones.
Yeah, against NFL players, not against Washington.
But Aaron Jones is an NFL player.
We're not Purdue, okay?
He does have Justin Jefferson, too.
Who?
Exactly. So, yes, he may just be handing off, but it'll be to Aaron Jones. And if he does actually throw the football, he'll have Justin Jefferson out there, too. I'm not saying the J.J. McCarthy thing is going to be a thing. I'm just pointing out that other than Will Levis, you start looking at the quarterbacks. Oh, yeah, and then maybe Drake May's playing.
That's the interesting part with getting all the rookies in the first month of the season, where there might be a situation where you're not playing all the rookies. You're only playing
their placeholders.
Yeah, Brissett and Darnold.
Sure.
The other two are probably going to start right away.
Oh, Daniels and Caleb. Williams. Yeah. That good deduction on your part.
I'm watching Hard Knocks. They haven't spent a ton of time on a quarterback battle.
No.
Actually, and they have spent a lot of time on the quarterback
2-3 battle.
Yes.
The Tyson Badgett, whoever the hell the other guy is.
Some other rookie.
Yeah.
I forgot the other guy.
Yeah. So if we're going by what Wood thinks, 6-0 would mean they beat the Colts, they beat the Bears, they beat the Vikings, they home the Jags, they host the Bills and win that one, and they beat the Patriots. It's not out of the realm of possibility. Now, the Bills at home, and if we're talking about the toughest games, I mean, I take my shots at Trevor Lawrence, but it's probably the Jags and Bills back-to-back if there's going to be a slip-up there.
Yeah, I week one also.
Yeah, you do go to Indy.
It's also week one, there's a lot of times some weird results.
Weird things that happen that don't have any real reflection on the rest of the year.
And then it's a road division game. So, like, that is one where I can see him stumbling right there.
And if Anthony Richardson has the type of success he had last year on the ground, now, he did get knocked out of that game, but before then, he was running all over the Texans, so you got to hope that doesn't continue.
But the Bears, the what was the
It's Colts, Bears, Vikings, Jags, Bills, Patriots. That's his 6-0 start.
Yeah, they need to win weeks 2 and 3, I think, to like really make a mark. Because if you're losing those games, then I have bad news for when the Bills come to town.
Yeah, you're dropping games to the Sam Darnold McCarthy combo, whatever it might be.
I get at some point you are going to have to beat good teams, but
you want to buffer as much as you can.
You want to build in some cushion just in case any one of these games you drop, it's like, whoa. And then we also dropped the Caleb Williams the second Caleb Williams game ever.
Yeah.
It's honestly, now that I'm talking about it, it is what they did last year where they lost to Desmond Ridder and Bryce Young.
You hope there's some
Zach
growth.
Wilson.
You do hope there's some growth from losing to either inexperienced or bad quarterbacks, and in some cases both. So you hope that doesn't happen. And if Wood is right, then it won't, because we'll see some of that very early on in the Texan season. Our one is wrapped up. If you have, well, predictions on anything, frankly, it could be the Texans, could be anything else, you can call in 713-780-3776. I did want to get to this because there is it's not surprising because it's about Iowa football and about Cade McNamara. He was like the one before the one at Michigan. He was the version one of what the type of quarterback they wanted as they were trying to get towards a national title. He's now at Iowa. He's still playing college football. And maybe if you're an Iowa fan, you wish he wasn't. So we'll hear some sound from someone who covered an Iowa practice, and then we'll hear from Kirk Ferentz, who didn't sound all that surprised and really was like, you know what, kind of happens here all the time. So we'll get to that. And we didn't really get through the top 25, the AP poll, so we'll get into that to combine the Iowa sound, because Iowa, people think, could make a run because of their defense and their schedule to a playoff spot. Maybe Cade McNamara isn't the answer. We'll find out when we come back.
ESPN 97.5. ESPN 97.5, presented by Zadok Jewelers.
KFNC 97.9 HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out.
Hour two. Welcome if you're just joining us, and if you've been with us since hour one, I appreciate it. Thank you. So, the AP poll came out yesterday. It's kind of what you might expect with Georgia and Ohio State and Oregon and Texas and Alabama as your top five. Well, a team that's always around the top 25 while having one of the worst offenses in college football is Iowa. They are ranked at number 25 to start the year. Some people's maybe surprise playoff participant, mostly because there's now 12 opportunities to get into the playoff. And Iowa's always hovering because of their defense and special teams are always in games, even when it's a disgusting brand of football to watch. They stay in games and they win them. Kirk Ferentz is, as much as the offense is a joke, keeping your son around to run it and then eventually having to get rid of him, hell, they had to put a points per game caveat in his contract, and then it really helped them get fired among, you know, actually the product itself. They win games, and they're always in a bowl, and if 12 teams can make it, Iowa has a real shot, ranked number 25 to start the year. So this comes from the Iowa Everywhere podcast. As you might imagine, they talk a lot of Iowa sports. So they went out to an open scrimmage, and the voiceover is from one of the hosts discussing what he saw from what should be Iowa starting quarterback, Cade McNamara.
It's not just that he's off, McNamara. He's got no confidence in his throws. There are some throws that I don't even know if he's trying to throw it away or if it's just over the head of the receiver so far that it looks like he was trying to throw it away. From what I charted, he was 7 for 21 for 20 yards with a pick six. He was sacked once, obviously no touchdowns, and he fumbled a snap, a shotgun snap that just hit off his hands, and he had to run back and pick it up 10 yards behind him. I don't know what was more concerning, the video of it or what Kirk Ferentz said after.
The quarterback, is this a typical day that you've seen through now nine practices?
It's probably a fair assessment, yeah. Just, you know, like everything, not consistent enough at this point.
Because I was hoping, well, maybe this is just a really bad day for Cade McNamara. Maybe he's been performing a lot better. Ferentz said that this is basically on par with what he's seen from the quarterbacks since practice began.
I know there is one Iowa fan who listens to the station, particularly the morning show, quite a bit. I mean, honestly, if you're not locked in on Iowa football, you're like, doesn't this happen every year? I mean, we watch the games. We see what you put out there as a product. Should I be surprised that your offense, particularly your quarterback, is struggling against your defense? That all it does is muck up games and make teams of superior talent for the most part? I mean, it's sometimes there's a Michigan and an Ohio State who has no problem. But when they're playing like Purdue and Nebraska and Indiana, they turn all these games into this. So, of course it's happening to your offense. But I guess to see it in person for this particular individual, I think his name is Chris Hassel. He does the show with another guy named Chris Williams. I guess it's a little stark. I watch Iowa football every year, and it's like, yeah, 7 for 20. Now, 7 for 21 for 20 yards, that's bad.
Terrible.
That's terrible. A pick. I like that he said, of course, no touchdowns. Well, there was a touchdown. Remember the pick six that was thrown? Yeah. There was a touchdown. Just not for the offense. So that those numbers are atrocious, but it just feels like you're going against Iowa's defense. So it's just what we would see on a regular basis when you're game planning for a defense not as good as yours.
Yes, but the problem is that on Saturdays they go out there and do the same thing. I mean,
this is what I'm saying.
It's what we're talking about with the Texans a lot, where at practice either Paul or DJ Bienname will either tweet or Paul will come on here and be like, defense kicked the offense ass again today. And I think most of us go, well, the defense has just improved. But at a certain point after like a week straight, we do start to feel like, well, okay, did CJ Stroud have a good day? Like, Paul, please tell us that the offense started to have good days. Because at the end of the day, like, even if you are going against an awesome defense, you should, if you're any good at all, you should still have a decent day against that team. So I think that mixed with the fact that Cade McNamara transferring in, supposed to be like, oh, this is, we got a quarterback from Michigan. He won the Big Ten at Michigan a couple years ago. They have a new offensive coordinator who's no longer the son of the head coach. So, okay, the offense should be on the right track, should be getting better. And you, again, 7 for 20 for 21 yards. That's 3 yards per completion.
Yes, the numbers are...
That's nothing but checkdowns. It only completed checkdowns.
The numbers are awful. And the sound accompanies the video, obviously, for people listening. You can't see it, or watching us on YouTube, you can't see it either. But it's as bad as you would think. And his comment on whether he's throwing the ball away on purpose or just missing guys, yeah, it looks like that. But I think Iowa quarterbacks always look like this when they play the Iowa defense, because against teams they game plan for, it's not that much better.
Yeah.
When they're not playing a stout defense and they're in the game planning, they look bad. Not this bad, but Iowa has the defense has the advantage of seeing this offense every day and knowing what they can and can't do.
Imagine how much confidence the Iowa defense has every day. Just being like, yeah, we know, but we're going
to. Yeah.
I mean, he's going to go 7 for 20 for 21 yards. We know that.
Yeah, we're not worried.
As we're walking out to the practice field, we know there's not going to be a play where he beats us deep.
Maybe in one-on-ones, like the offensive linemen feel good about themselves. Maybe the wide receivers get open a couple of times. But when it starts to 11-on-11 stuff, there's no chance there's any confidence on the offense going against that defense day after day.
Imagine being an Iowa fan.
I can't.
Imagine just like that's your existence. It's like, but I hope we win 12-6.
But they win a lot. They just win it in the way you said, 12-6. So it's a miserable experience, but they win games.
I don't think I would enjoy it.
I wouldn't either.
I don't think I would. I would be like,
but,
yes.
But what if it's all they know? Like, if it's all they know, maybe they're comfortable in this hell that they're in.
They have TV. They see what other teams are doing.
It's all they know of their team, because Ferentz has been around forever.
Like, yeah. But there's no excuse. Like, there's no excuse to be this bad. Kansas doesn't have an offense this bad.
You know, maybe recruit more Brad Banks like they used to, instead of like that one time they did, as opposed to a Cade McNamara type.
Kansas State is pulling from the same crop.
Does Iowa? Well, it's a long time ago now. But does Iowa dip into JUCOs like Kansas State did? How they rose to prominence.
I don't think they do. No. I don't think anyone dips into JUCOs.
Not anymore. You got the transfer portal and other things. Yeah, Kansas State kind of set a standard, and it worked out pretty well for them under Bill Snyder.
Like, just if I was an Iowa fan, I'd be like, can we win games, you know, the right way, running, defense, but can we do it like that's not in the most
horrifically
awful Wisconsin last year? No, I mean, just be a poor man's last year's Michigan. which is funny because they have Cade McNamara.
Yeah, they're trying,
but it's like, can we just be an offense that is doing all these things but isn't horrendous every time they pass the ball?
They won 10 games last year.
Congrats.
They won 10 games two out of the last three seasons.
Again, congrats. Means nothing to me.
I know, because you root for Texas. Understood. But
every time they play a real team, you're like, that's the
But
problem.
They're not supposed to beat real teams. Look who are their recruiting base. They're not recruiting against the Michigans and Ohio States of the world. They're not going to win those battles. So, of course, they're always at match. So I get what you're trying to do, because you need to muck up the game to even compete against those teams. But, as I said, you could beat Wisconsin. Wisconsin at times has been competent. Look, it's the same type of quarterback, whether it be Jim Sorgi or Cade McNamara. There's really no difference between the two. The one guy they had was Russell Wilson. He became a big-time pro, and it took a transfer from NC State to happen. So they're generally recruiting the same type of guy. They're generally playing the same type of offense and defense. But Wisconsin has found a way to not be horrendous for the better part of 20 years on offense, while Iowa has not. And by the way, Iowa has been to, like, now multiple Big Ten title games in the last 5 years or so. Now, they never win them. Remember that 9-6 game? Or was it 9-6 or 13-9 against Michigan State that they lost?
Yeah.
And Michigan State made the playoff and eventually got their doors blown off by Alabama, I think. So,
and then Iowa went to the Rose Bowl and got their doors blown off by Stanford.
Yeah.
What a game.
Yeah, yeah. what a showcase of the Big Ten.
Yeah, well, good job, guys.
Yeah.
I hope you're proud of yourself.
So while you are right, it is tough to be an Iowa fan, but I understand why they do it, because they're not going to win games playing a different way. Just try to find a better quarterback.
Yeah. Even
Wisconsin tried with Graham Mertz. I mean, he stunk there after one
Jack
start.
Cone.
Yeah, but they've tried. Now they brought in Tyler Van Dyke. That guy can throw the football pretty well. We'll see if he works here. Cade McNamara was never a good thrower of the football. You call them a lesser degree of Michigan. I did call them for a couple years, like, great value Michigan, the Walmart brand of Michigan. That's what they tried. That's who they are.
Yeah.
Michigan just has better players.
Michigan wins the Big Ten and goes to playoff games.
And eventually, well, they cheated to do it. That's how you would respond.
Start cheating.
Kurt Ferentz would never sully his reputation with that.
He would just do
the nepotism thing. Yeah. Yeah. That's how it works. So that is our college football segment. We always try to get one in, particularly if we can take our slander knives to a particular program. And in this case, it was Iowa.
It's not slander.
It's true.
It's what their offense looks like.
It's true. They don't play an appealing brand of football, but they do win a lot of games.
They should have tried to have Caitlin Clark play quarterback or something. That must have been like the go-to joke for Iowa fans, being like,
sure,
how do we have the most electric college basketball player
in maybe history of women's basketball? And then we've got this.
On offense, we've watched the most boring slop imaginable.
all that matters is winning, Sean, and they do a lot of it.
Congrats.
In not a very attractive fashion. It's the plight of an Iowa fan. Or if you want to talk Olympics, we'll get to that. Anyone else want to get in, 713-780-3776. And no matter who you root for, just pray, whatever sport it is, whatever team it is, pray they're not the Iowa of your sport. Because it ain't a fun experience. We'll talk to Irv when we come back.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
Irv wants to talk about the Olympics here. What could it be? Could it be the end of breakdancing? Although apparently it wasn't on the, it wasn't supposed to be around for 2028 either. So don't blame Ray Gunn for that. She goes back a conquering hero to Australia while the rest of the world mocks and shames her. Irv, what do you want to? What's up, man? What do you want to talk about?
What up, Devin Diesel? Great show as always, man. Hey, so look, man, who's better, Jordan or LeBron?
I'm not answering.
I'm kidding. I'm just, you know, I'm not mad at none. But talking about the Olympics, the reason I brought this up was I think Perkins is smoking crack again because he said because LeBron has one more gold medal than Jordan, that he's the greatest of all time. And what's so funny about it is a lot of us here in Ireland, in the United States, when we're like, we don't really care about these gold medals or whatever, but when it comes to like our championships, it's because of this, that, and that. So why is he even mentioning about stuff like that? So why would they even consider, you know, things about that? I don't get that. And then also, I'm going to say, I'm going to let my inner Ryan out. What do you think about Georgia Villa having an OnlyFans?
Who?
Georgia Villa, the Italian gymnast.
Oh, I'll have to look her up. I don't know who she is.
The one that had that cheese. She was hugging that chunk of cheese around her. Like, okay. She was sponsored by that cheese.
Okay, I don't know what brand opportunity she has, but I'll look into it. I will have an answer for you by the end of the show. Thank you, Irv. As far as why Perk does it, I mean, the cynical approach is he does it for this, for you to take offense to it and call in, for that clip to be grabbed on socials or thrown on socials, whether it be from someone who happened to see it and want to throw it out there themselves or ESPN and get up to throw it out there. That's why. There's nothing genuine in those conversations.
Yeah. why is he saying that gold medals matter now? Because he's saying that LeBron's better than Jordan
yeah.
right now.
That's, yes,
he's using the recent event to make a point.
And because despite what I think about it, people love having this conversation.
Yeah.
It infuriates people to have that as a suggestion. So that's why he's doing it. I don't think anything that happens on those shows is genuine. I think it's producer-based. So it'd be the Sean Mapes of that situation.
Hell yeah.
He is setting...
Evil Sean Mapes.
Yes, your evil twin, like a soap opera. It is their job to elicit that reaction from you. And we can have a conversation about why they do it, and it's pretty simple. It works.
Yeah. Can we have a conversation about who's better, Jordan or LeBron?
You can have it.
Okay.
In there.
Oh.
Mostly because I don't care. I don't care who's better. I don't give any thought to it. And getting into debates about it, for me, seems silly because much like politics, no matter what you say, you're not going to convince the other person. Have you ever sat down and felt strongly about who's better and someone was like, actually, this is why they're not. And you're like, yeah, you know what? You're right.
Oh, wait. He was 6-0 in finals?
Has it ever happened?
Oh.
Has your mind ever been I'm not even – this is not directly at Sean – for everyone out there,
yeah.
When you get into these conversations and you feel a certain way about something, whether it be LeBron versus MJ or best quarterback of all time, have you ever been convinced by your buddy that he's right and you're wrong? Has it ever happened in the history of these arguments? No. It never happens. So that's why I don't care to get involved in them, because I care less about that than I do about golf, to be honest with you. And that's a low bar.
Montana or Marino?
Don't care. Montana won Super Bowls. You want to give it to him? Cool. More talented passer. Marino want to give it to him? Cool. Don't have a real care about it one way or the other.
So who's the better quarterback?
I don't care. Ugh. You're not going to sucker me. You're not going to get me to rant about it and sucker me into the conversation.
I'm trying to get on First Take.
Sorry. I know we are somewhat affiliated with ESPN, but I don't think that particular conversation works. You didn't mention LeBron or MJ. You didn't say why.
Who's better, Troy Aikman or Dak Prescott? We're cooking.
We're not the ticket. What does it matter?
One won Super Bowls. The other one has better numbers.
Sorry.
Embrace debate.
If they pay me like those embrace debate guys, then we can do that. I will sell out if the selling out is worth it.
Rank them.
No.
Aikman, Romo, Prescott.
Oh, no. Fine. Well, you want to do it? Fine. Rank them. Gallant, George, Branham.
Branham 1, Paul 2.
George 3 behind Gallant?
Rings.
What rings does Paul have?
Hosting a show for a long time.
Joe hosts a show now.
Yeah, but only for like a couple months. Got to earn it, buddy.
Mm. And Branham ahead of both. But Paul's hosted a show longer than Branham. So your logic makes no sense.
What have you done for me lately?
Host a show. What are you talking about?
I don't know. I just want to put Branham number one.
For whatever reason. Okay. We can have real conversations that might have a direct impact on your life. I don't care about the... I don't care about that. Most volatile.
Of those three?
No.
Oh.
Granato.
Oh. Well.
Joel. Gallant. Who's most volatile?
I think Gallant won. Granato today with describing California. Is, I don't know. It's just a bit more.
That was aggressive. Yes, it was.
maybe California John. California John might be
Hollywood
two.
Johnny?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He might be too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you guys want some real action? Start ranking the people in your lives.
Oh,
the,
yeah.
The sports stuff, who cares? You guys are never going to change your mind on that thing. Eric, I see you. We'll get to you when we come back. I don't know if you – maybe you want to rank Abigail Dye. You can do that by yourself. I mean, you can call in about it, but I won't get involved. But I'm sure you have your own rankings when it comes to local news anchors and reporters.
We next time you're out with your friends, just, like, rank them. Just embrace debate. Who's who? rank the five of us at this table.
Sure. Do it.
Everyone on the napkin, write it down, and we share.
If who's the most likely to lie to your face? Have that debate. See how it goes for you. We got a couple more segments to go. We'll be back.
ESPN 97.5.
John Granato here. Brinkman Quality Roofing is a local family-owned and operated business and has been the most trusted name in Houston for 50 years for roof repairs, roof maintenance, and roof replacements on both homes and businesses. They're experts in shingle roofs, tile roofs, solar shingle roofs, metal roofing, and commercial roofing products. Brinkman Quality Roofing is the one to call at 281-480-ROOF. That's 281-480-ROOF. Or go to BrinkmanQuality.com.
Innovation has always been the hallmark of Pro Dunk Basketball Goals. Their latest invention is a game changer. Jeremy Branham here. Pro Dunk Goals have been adjustable for years, allowing you to raise and lower the height of your goal, but now you can use their patent-pending lightning adjust feature to change the height 10 times faster. It's so easy and fun to do. Check out the new lightning adjust feature at ProDunk.com, the best basketball goals on the planet. ProDunk.com.
Hey guys, Joel Blank for Allstate Windows and Siding. I changed the windows at my house, and I'm glad I went to Allstate Windows and Siding. First of all, the overall curb appeal and the overall look of my house was upgraded by a bunch. Secondly, I saved big time money on my energy bills. Third, and most importantly, I went to the experts that have been doing this for over 40 years. They are absolutely fantastic. Go to Allstate Windows and Siding right now or call them. 832-204-1936. 30% off windows, free estimates available. Best in the business, Allstate Siding and Windows.com.
Texting enrolls you in a recurring automated marketing text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
Ugh, leaving for the gym so early?
I'm ready to go.
Since you started taking Nugenix Total T, you've been acting like when we met in our 20s.
I feel like myself again. Lower testosterone after turning 40 slowed me down. Nugenix Total T has been a game changer for me.
What is it about Nugenix Total T that's different?
It's a key ingredient called Tesnor. It boosts free and total testosterone to help you get back the drive and energy from your youth. Total T is backed by 5 clinical studies.
I've seen the huge difference it's made for you in the gym, at work, and in the bedroom.
I'm so glad I sent them a text for my complimentary bottle. Text PREP to 321-321 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T. Nugenix is the number one selling testosterone boosting brand at GNC and Walmart. Do it now, and we'll also send you a bottle of Nugenix Thermo X, our newest, most powerful fat burner ever. Absolutely free. Text PREP to 321-321. That's PREP to 321-321.
Most people are tired and worn down by the time they get to the mortgage part of a home purchase, so they don't properly shop their mortgage. That's when you should call Kent Jones at Dream Rate Mortgage. His mission is simple: educate and help borrowers save money. With 29 years of experience, Kent can get you a quick quote without an application or credit pull. Call or text Kent at Dream Rate at 713-520-LOAN. That's 713-520-5626, or visit 975loan.com.
Dream Rate Mortgage LLC, NMLS number 2482473. J. Kent Jones, NMLS number 356118. Equal housing lender.
you're back inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Del Olalea. I mean, you're not actually in the studio, but if you watch ESPN Houston's YouTube channel, it's kind of like you are. No, not really.
We'll get to Eric here shortly, but we got some breaking news. And it's appropriate considering the team in question. The Minnesota Vikings and their rookie quarterback, J.J. McCarthy, didn't have a great day today. After an MRI to diagnose what was going on with his knee, he was suffering from some knee soreness. It is determined that J.J. McCarthy will have knee surgery, and that will determine how long he's out. Now, Sam Darnold was the starter, named the starter, at least for training camp, and this guarantees that Sam Darnold will be the opening week starter for the Vikings, which probably means he, unless he falls apart completely between the time he starts the year and when they see the Texans, that he will be the starting quarterback on the field when the Texans see them, which probably gives the Vikings a better chance to win, to be honest with you, but it shouldn't matter. We shouldn't be worried about the Sam Darnold, Justin Jefferson connection.
And the drop-off from McCarthy to Darnold or the
plus upgrade.
Yeah, it should not matter. It should not matter.
It should not, but...
But it might. It might.
It's the NFL, right?
It's the NFL. They're pros, too, Del.
I've been told. I've heard that before. Yeah. So that'll be a road game for the Texans on September 22nd.
Wow. So they'll be hearing that horn?
Yes, that horn that you just played. Well, a better version of it.
A different version.
True, because I think that one's great, particularly because it upsets the person who did it, who wishes I didn't capture that. It's probably one of the moments he dislikes the most, other than when I play his German impression, which is just gibberish, which I love as well. Eric, you want to talk about things? Just things. That's kind of what you do. What's up, Eric?
Hey, Bill. Short sports. What? No, whatever. Anyway, I heard they're going to make a new movie about Reagan, kind of like Rudy, how she got carried off, like Rudy got carried off.
You're making that up.
Is there any truth to that?
No.
And who's hotter, Hot Tua Girl or Reagan? I'll hang up and listen.
Well, the age-appropriate answer is Ray Gun, because I think Hawk Tua Girl is like 21 years old. A little young for me, I would say. I don't want to judge either one, because there's no gonna be hear me out tweet for me about either one of them. I'm not going to make that tweet. You can make that determination, Eric. I'm sure they're very nice young women, and you shouldn't be judging them on their appearance only. That's my advice as the person who's on the public airways.
So do you want to judge them by their talent?
Well, Hawk Tua is the funny. Well, to be fair, who's funnier? Because Hawk Tua, what she said was funny, but what Ray Gun did was funny too. So who's funnier?
One's an Olympian.
All I know. Well, that's true. True. I mean,
it is true.
It's true. I can't fight it. But who's funnier? Because her clip, well, both clips went viral, but Hawk Tua Girl was being genuine and funny. But I don't think Reagan
was being genuine,
trying
too.
To be funny.
Yeah, she was being genuine.
But I think she would prefer people not laugh at what she did. I assume. Hawk Tua Girl was laughing while she was saying it, so she doesn't mind the funny what came with it. But I'm going to go with Hawk Tua Girl, because whether it was genuine or not, I think there is some humor, certainly some humor behind it. I don't think Reagan was trying to be funny.
It is.
We're laughing with Hawk Tua Girl. We're laughing at Reagan.
Yes.
There's the difference.
Yes. It's more intentional comedy.
Sure.
With Hawk Tua.
Or maybe Reagan has perpetrated the biggest grift in the last 20 years, where all she was trying to do was, well, create what she got. The viralness of the clips, the reaction from people, and now look at her. Mm. More famous than ever. Although we don't even know her first or last name. She's just Ray Gun Girl to us.
Ray Gun.
Yeah, it's a great name.
It is a good name.
I just can't put it in the front of your book cover.
You can, but you have to put your real name.
Otherwise, AKA Ray Gun, is that what you do when she sells her book?
Or I think you work Ray Gun into the title.
Say her name's Sarah Mitchell. Sarah Ray Gun Mitchell?
Ooh, that's also That's pretty good because it sounds like Pete Maverick Mitchell from Top Gun.
Yeah, I think you do. I think you put the ray gun in parentheses as kind of your middle name on the book cover if you're trying to sell some books, which I think is what people think she's going to do. It's write about her experience.
I'm trying to think of like from Breaking to Ray Gun or something like a title with Ray Gun in it where it's a picture of her and the word Ray Gun. And so people are like,
she won't be in her Australian gear, but does she strike that pose that we're laughing at on the cover? Or is it just a regular cover?
Maybe a different breaking pose.
Where's her head's or her hands in her head and she's like laying down. I don't
know. Maybe not that one either. maybe you get into the editing studio and you
figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have her stand up and then just flip her 180 degrees so it looks like she's standing on her head.
Like a music video would do?
Yes.
Yeah. Understood. We're workshopping things with Ray Gun. I credit her for going out there and doing her best, I guess. We can laugh at her, but I think it's worked out for her.
Yeah, would you do that? Would you be an Olympic breakdancer even though you don't – I'm assuming you don't know how to breakdance?
I do not, no.
Yeah, would you do that though?
Would the shame take over knowing, oh, this is really bad?
The first time you're face-to-face with an actual
breakdancer and I go out there, I think there's a level of shame that I have that I wouldn't do it. Like I know I'm awful. I'm not going out there. It's embarrassing. But you do go. I don't rank being famous over what it takes to get there. Like, what will it take for me to get to this point?
Mm-hmm.
And it's too much. Yeah. The shame of being that bad of a breakdancer. And
you could never be Ray Gun.
No.
You could never be Kim Kardashian.
Well, yeah, you're right. Because I wouldn't have that type of relationship with Ray J. You're right. I would not be Kim Kardashian.
You look at what Kim Kardashian did to be famous. You're like, I'm not sure. Not sure if I could do it.
No, I'm pretty sure I can't. There's no guesswork there. I'm sure I can't do it. I wouldn't have to even contemplate.
I think I would
be Kim Kardashian.
Go to the Olympics.
Oh,
thank you for making me clarify. I think I could do what Ray Gun did.
Be a bad breakdancer?
I definitely know I could do that.
Would you, knowing you're a bad breakdancer, you would do it? I don't think she considered what would happen. But you know, now knowing what happened to her, you would do that.
Yeah, you also get a trip to Paris. Get to hang out at the Olympic Village.
That's true.
And until they actually see you breakdance, you can just be like, I'm a breakdancer.
Yeah, breakdancing happened in the final weekend.
Yeah, it was last. Or not last, but it was basically the last of
Friday, right? We saw it on Friday, right?
Yeah, it was the last event, I feel like, that started. So, yeah, you're spending the entire time being like, yeah, I'm a breakdancer, you know. What's up? Oh, you're from Norway?
Do you tell people you're a breakdancer? You just say, what do you do? Oh, I'm a speed wall climber. I think I would tell them that. It's obscure. How many people know who's in that event?
And then, I would say breakdance.
I don't think I'm telling people until it's my event time. That's not cool to be a breakdancer at the Olympics.
I think it is cool. I think the novelty of it is cool.
Other athletes? Like if you are a...
Like the decathlon athlete?
Yeah, you think it's cool? They think the breakdancers are cool?
They don't think Ray Gun is cool.
Well, they don't see. Now they don't.
They probably exactly, but they probably think that the average breakdancer that is like that's cool and interesting.
Nah, it looks like McCarthy has a torn meniscus, so he won't be out for the year, but it'll be an extended amount of time.
It'll be a while before he can breakdance again.
No, he's a guy who meditates in front of a goalpost before games. Remember?
Yeah, probably not a breakdancer.
Probably not. You are welcome to how you would infiltrate the Olympics. I'm not telling anyone I'm a breakdancer until I have to go out there. I'm a wall climber. That's cool. I'll just carry chalk with me at all times.
Cool. That's cool.
My hands are all white. I came back from practice.
Do you do the LeBron before you throw the thing up in the air? Yeah.
As tribute? Nah, then I get asked, who do you think is better, Michael or MJ? Or Michael and LeBron? I don't want to get into that conversation in the Olympic Village.
Who's the better breakdancer in the prime?
No. I'm not getting into any back and forth about those two, no matter what the topic is. Who's the better dad? Got to wait for a couple years for Bronny. We'll see if he winds up snorting some white substance. We know Michael's kid already has that.
Yeah, but it's not closed.
It's true. I mean, really being a parent, as we're told, is a lifelong thing. So
that's what I've heard.
I don't want to find out, to be honest. So if Bronny winds up snorting a substance at 30-something years old, all of a sudden the pendulum swings back to MJ. Oh, you thought Michael so bad. Look at that.
Yeah, you thought 20 years of comparing LeBron's playing career to Michael Jordan was a long time. We got a lifetime of comparing him as fathers.
Some sicko's going to do that, too. We got one more segment here on the show. I mean, we already are deep into the Haven of Nonsense, but there's some other stuff to get to. I don't know if this will be an extreme example, at least, of you don't make the club from the tub, but there's a thing going on in the WNBA that may lead to Becky Hammon getting fired. She was very stringent in her rules to one of her athletes who was dealing with a pregnancy. And it's, you know, it's the one thing, one of the many things women athletes deal with that men athletes don't. And it's a very delicate situation. And now Becky Hammon, the former Spur assistant, the coach of the Las Vegas Aces, is under some scrutiny for how she dealt with one of her former players. And sometimes coaches get over their skis, and we'll talk about that when we come back.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
Couple things to get to. What's also, I see you. We'll get to you. You want to talk baseball? Sure you do. But I mentioned this early in the show. Matt LaFleur was asked about who his wide receiver one is. And now D'Amico was asked about that too in Ohio when the Texans were practicing. And he said, whoever gets the ball. We don't really label anyone like that. Just you get the ball on that play, you're wide receiver one. Matt LaFleur took a less than patient approach to the question. He says that question makes him want to vomit. He hates anyone asking him about it. He thinks it's dumb. That's a media invention. I want to vomit every time I hear number one receiver. It drives me crazy. That's something you guys talk about. I feel like we've got a bunch of them. Now, if he had Davante Adams, he would say that's our number one wide receiver, which he had for a while. This is all circumstance. He has a lot of young receivers. They're good players, and the Packers are expected to be a good offensive team along with Jordan Love and those wide receivers. Also have Josh Jacobs at running back, but it's a little disingenuous. Yeah, you have young guys. You don't want to label them number one. You know who says who our number one is? People who never get asked the question because it's pretty clear. Davante Adams was your number one. You go to Minnesota. Who's their number one? I think we all know.
Whoever's open.
No. Don't try to get that off when Justin Jefferson's in the room. If he hears that, there's a problem.
I know we just paid Justin Jefferson like
But Kevin O'Connell, who's your number one? Who's ever open?
Yeah, maybe it's Addison.
Yeah, sure. Who's had his own issues this offseason. No. That's a response from a guy who doesn't have a number one and would ask that you stop talking about it because There's no one who separated themselves. The Packers will be fine. I'm not worried about their talent, but cut it out, Matt LaFleur. When you had a number one, you didn't get asked that question because everyone knew it. And you were fine saying Davante Adams was your number one.
Who do you think the Cowboys' number one is? Could be anybody, right?
Is it Brandon Cooks until CeeDee Lamb makes it back into camp?
I feel like asking who your number one is either a really good thing or a really bad thing.
Like the Texans, it's good.
Yes.
And the Packers less so, but it's not a problem. They have young talent. Yeah.
But then if you go to, I don't know, like the Saints or the Panthers,
yeah.
And you're like, who's your number one?
We don't have one.
Or the answer is Adam Thielen.
Ugh.
Oh, my God. Or actually, it's Diontae Johnson now.
Not a bad player, but he's not a number one for a really good team.
City's under new management.
They're going to run that thing into the ground. New management's going to ruin the vibes. LaSalsa, we'll get to you, and then if, depending on how you take us off track, we will eventually get to the Becky Hammon story, which is a little messy for her. She's getting sued. What's up, LaSalsa?
Oh, assalamu alaikum, jelly belly.
There's not a Muslim on. Hey, Hold on. I am not Muslim, okay. But you may be thrilled because Raheel's going to join us on Thursday for a little bit, so maybe you drop that on him and see what he says. And I'm not a part. But go ahead. What do you want to talk about?
That'll be awesome, Jelly Deli.
Not my name either.
So I was watching the game yesterday, and who do you think put more butts in seats, the Rays or the A's? That's all I got.
I think it's still the Rays, but it's even more embarrassing for them because of what that franchise has produced as far as wins. The A's, you can understand. That stadium sucks. Well, the Rays stadium sucks too, but at least they win games for the most part. The A's, you can understand, no one showed up. Oh, and yeah, they're leaving.
Yeah, I was going to say, they're literally in the process of leaving.
They're leaving. So now the problem with their attendance happened way before the news broke that they were leaving, but no one wants to watch a game in that ballpark. No one wanted to watch football in that stadium either. It just so happens to have had a legacy franchise there, so Raider fans showed up. But it's not a great place to watch any sporting event. That's why it's going to be something that's not used in the near future. The Rays is the more embarrassing one because they win games. What else did he ask about? Is that it besides?
Assalamu alaikum.
Once again, don't say that to me. And I'm not insulted by it. I'm just not Muslim.
Okay.
It seems inappropriate. That's all.
Don't talk like that around me.
No, it's not because I think, how dare you? I just think it's inappropriate, particularly for him to do it.
I don't know. I don't know what LaSalsa believes.
No, I'm not. No, but I'm not going to go by. I'm not going to take that from a guy who doesn't go by his regular name, LaSalsa, who was making fun of someone else.
I forgot what his other question was. I'll be honest.
Doesn't really matter. It's LaSalsa. The artist formerly known as La Raza called in earlier as Irv and asked me about the gymnast from Italy and whether she would join OnlyFans. Now, I would normally say 0.0 because she did win a silver medal for her with the team all around. But because there's a bronze medalist that is an OnlyFans model, at Alicia Newman from Canada, I can't rule it out completely. Now, Newman is older while Villa is 21. Newman's like 30. I'm going to put it at, she's got another couple Olympics, maybe at least one more Olympics in her, I think. I'm going to go 0.003. I would rule it out completely because I don't know of another Olympic athlete who is an OnlyFans creator. But we do have the one, so can't rule it out completely. Let's go to a more sensitive topic. If you don't know, Becky Hammon is being sued by a former player. Now, Becky Hammon is the coach of the Las Vegas Aces, WNBA team in Las Vegas. Successful. Kelsey Plum's on the team. Asia Wilson's on the team. Star power. But she is getting sued because she was, I guess to put it kindly, less than sensitive about Dorica Hamby's pregnancy status. Becky Hammon is accused, according to the lawsuit. She accused Hamby of knowingly getting pregnant when the contract slash season was coming up, and it was supposed to rule that out because, well, if you're pregnant, you're not available to play. It, as I said before, so one of the many things men in sports don't have to worry about. So it states, part of the lawsuit states, on January 15, 2023, during a phone call between Hammond and Hamby, Hammond asked Hamby whether she planned her pregnancy. When Hamby responded that she did not, Hammond told Hamby that she is not taking precautions not to get pregnant. That's rough. But when you are a coach for a team, and of course you're planning your roster, a pregnancy is going to remove one of the players from your roster. It went on where Hammond questions Hamby's commitment and dedication to the team and called her a question mark. She talked about how the roster needed bodies, and she asked if Hamby would be ready to play to start the season, start of next season. Response, Hamby assured Hammond that she was committed to the team, would be giving birth during the offseason, and anticipated being fully ready to play play by the start of the preseason, April 23rd. So this is a lot to do about Hammond putting pressure on Hamby and accusing her of not being someone who could be available because, you know, the birth of a child, which is a rough thing to punish someone for. Hey, you're having a child. You let down the team. You're pregnant. You let down the team.
It is a tough one.
It's a tough.
I get.
I understand why a coach would be upset if you expected someone to be on your roster and then she had the birth and then she is going to be pregnant and going to be unavailable. But I don't know if you can actually call the player to the carpet for it. You might just have to say, you know what, that's life.
Yes, that is something where you just have to be like, okay, well,
it happened.
And then once you hang up, you go, oh my God, we're screwed.
You have a private conversation with whoever you need to blow off some steam.
You screwed us.
But you don't have that conversation.
You need a power forward. What the hell are we going to do?
I don't know.
It'd be so great if the sports we mostly cover, the men's sports, had a wrinkle like this where it's just like, the guy's just out for the year and you can't get mad.
Yeah. Yeah, hey, that's life.
It's not injury. It's just he's just out.
The miracle of life kept Stephon Diggs out of the season. How would we handle it?
I mean, your team would be screwed with Tyreek Hill.
Oh, if he had what's it called again?
Paternity leave.
Back to back to back to back to back. He wouldn't make it through the year. He would never come back.
I think at that point, Mike McDaniel would be like, listen, you have to take some precautions. Yeah. And I think people would be on his side.
True. Wow. It's just not a problem male athletes have to face. And if you want to call it a problem, it's just Becky Hamill's like,
It'd be so great to be like, well, why didn't the Denver Nuggets go back-to-back? It's like, well, asterisk. Aaron Gordon got pregnant.
He was unavailable.
It wasn't the same team.
Yeah. We know how great that starting five is. Now you're inserting some rookie who has to play. They didn't plan on it.
Or trading her, being like, well, we need a win now move. She's not going to play this year because she's pregnant.
Yeah, I don't know the rules. I don't know if you can trade a woman because she's pregnant to add to I guess you can release someone.
Get a first round pick and a rotation player.
Yeah, another team who goes, you know what? We're not planning on winning right now. We'll accept the trade. I don't know.
We're tanking for Caitlin Clark right now.
I just know there are women stars, Candace Parker, I think among them, who would miss time because she was pregnant. It didn't come to this where a lawsuit is involved. It's just a business of that sport.
Yeah, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that Becky Hammond acted in her own self-interest, but in a way that is inappropriate.
Yes.
Because like you said, there's plenty of these women get pregnant and they don't end up suing
the coach because of the interactions as they were discussing it.
So there might be something that she did.
Yeah.
Wasn't up to code.
And we'll see if Becky Hammond survives. I don't know if it's a forgivable offense.
Yeah, is it like college football where this will just get brushed under the rug because they're winning?
Because they're winning a lot. It's a test. It's a test of the Las Vegas Aces, who have had some controversy as well besides this. You think Becky Hammond was like, should have just waited on Pop to retire. Should have stayed with the Spurs.
I don't have to worry about Wembanyama getting pregnant.
Yeah, Wembanyama's like threatening the rest of the league. My time's coming. He said I'm worried for everyone. Like he was after they won the silver medal, he was asked about the future. He goes, well, I'm learning, so on and so forth, and everyone should be worried. Oh, you mean FIBA? He goes, no, everyone. Everyone who plays me should be worried.
Yeah.
I'm coming.
For the 13th seed.
Well, this year at least. I mean, at some point, it'll happen, I guess. We're done. Maybe Becky Hammond is too? I don't know. I don't know how that will be handled. It's just an interesting conversation and topic. Just foreign to how we talk about sports. Coming up next is Gallant and George, followed by the Killer Bees. Kikuchi tonight, a chance to continue his great run with the Astros. We'll talk to you tomorrow. What do we do, Sean?
We did it!
That we did.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.